Let's do it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Kicks and Picks Podcast. Man, November 20th, I feel like it has been forever since we've been back on, Scotty. Coach Steve joining us in a moment or two. Dude, international break, like the worst. Absolutely the worst. We were fucking rolling. And I'm pretty sure you laid off a little more than I did. But, dude, I don't think I got two bets right the entire international break. I probably went like 2-15.
Yeah, I don't care what they try to do to try to make it interesting. I feel like betting international break games this time of year is like betting preseason NFL games. Like, it's you're taking your best guess, but the players don't really care as much. I don't think the manager is really trying to like go out all out and win everything. They're probably testing things as much as they otherwise would. But yeah, I mean, the idea of Nations League, and it means something, I guess. If you ask people from San Marino, they would agree, but outside the world, I don't know that they would.
It wasn't any better anywhere else in the world. Like, I was looking at the Cup of Nations qualifiers. Yeah. I mean, always a crapshoot in the best of conditions, but just a complete shit show there. South America, like, just...
No, you were upset about Argentina.
You know what, man? Like, I'm a little bit over Argentina. Like, to me, they're probably, like, the most... mediocre team ever to win the World Cup. Like, I look at the lineup and it's been largely the same for the past couple of years. Not to say there aren't talented players, obviously there are, but like the midfield and the defense is just so average. Their goalkeeper's average, and I'm watching them like eke out one goal performances to Peru and fucking Venezuela and whoever else they played. I'm like, this team won the World Cup. Like, I really can't believe it.
Didn't Emi Martinez win like the Golden Glove, or am I making that up? No, he won the Yashin Trophy. He won the Yashin Trophy, the best goalkeeper, which is, I'm glad that you said that, because that's an unbelievable farce that he won any sort of individual award for goalkeeping, because he's not a top, like you said, he's not definitely not even a top five keeper. You could maybe make the case top 10 with what he's achieved through you know, country, but yeah, I mean, the dude is very average in most aspects of the game and happens to come up clutch, you know, in clutch situations. I think that's the best thing that you can say about him.
Very big penalty kick stopper and like one or two miraculous saves in international tournaments.
Yeah. I don't mean to discount goal, you know, penalty kicks, goalkeeping effort, but so much of that is luck. And I don't know. I think it's what you do outside of the penalty box is more of a indicator of your goalkeeping level than how many PKs you can save.
Definitely. What's up, coach?
Going on. Apparently, StreamYard doesn't support my background anymore, which is interesting.
It's all good.
Chrome, and I'm on Chrome, so I don't know.
Yeah, we're just talking about how much of a fucking disaster international break was from a betting standpoint. Like, I'm super happy that I didn't tweet out any of my picks, because we probably would have lost followers. But yeah, pretty much exactly all we got into at this point. But we are definitely going to get into the slates. England, Italy. Interesting week. Let me say the thing that I have to say every week that we go on times like this. Coming off of international break, we have weekend games, Champions League the very next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. Proceed with caution as much as you can, because there are going to be some wild results this weekend.
Yeah, and I think the international break is going to help some clubs, and I think it's going to hurt, you know, quite a few. City, I think, is going to be a big beneficiary of the break, because nobody was colder than them going into it. Liverpool, Bournemouth, some of those clubs in England that were running on, you know, pretty good hot streaks. Nottingham Forest, you know, who knows what's going to happen with them? They're currently like a top four club, but you know, do they continue that form, especially going into this busy holiday period? A lot of question marks, but you know, that's why we're here. We're going to try to break it down the best that we can. And if we're wrong, we might be wrong, but we'll learn and we'll make even more money next weekend.
Yeah, no, listen, largely we've been good. So if you've been following along, you know that. If you're new to the show, appreciate you. We're going to try to make sense of this the best we can. I'm going to say it pretty much every game that we go through. Just be really, really careful. There's definitely some value that I think we've identified. Scotty and I were chopping it up before the show. But, man, there's some head scratchers. So, Scotty, I don't know if – I mean, what do you want to do? We can run through the games, really, like go game by game, or – anything you've identified you want to talk about right off the bat?
You want to start in England?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know if you wanted, now that Coach is here, I didn't know if you want to talk Roma at all.
We got to give Coach a second to get settled, man. He's freaking out about his background.
All right. That and this background music that's in my ear. What is this?
Oh, we're jamming. Oh, come on. Yeah. Dude's hating on the background music. We're feeding ducks.
Is it really that loud for you, Coach? I don't even hear it anymore.
I hear it.
Oh, man.
Pretty clearly.
Gotcha. Coach excuses. Here gotcha. To stay. Yeah, if you want to kick things off in England, I mean, let's talk about what we were discussing before we started the stream. I think this weekend in England is one of those weekends where you just got to start taking underdogs, because the books are daring you to do so. They really are trying to create a lot of value on these underdogs. They're making you pay a high price if you want to take any sort of these favorites: Arsenal, Chelsea, Villa, Fulham to an extent, City, obviously Liverpool. United could be a heavy favorite for the first time in what's probably weeks. And Newcastle, all these teams are really, you're going to have to pay a lot of money if you want to see them, you know, take on a win. So I think usually when that happens, Nick, your advice is, hey, just take the dogs, take some juice or take some goal assistance here as well on the spread. So let's kick into a few of those. I mean, right off the jump, I think the one that we highlighted initially was Forest and Arsenal, probably one of the two biggest games in England this weekend. Like I said, Forest right now a top four team, Arsenal not in the top four currently. So if you'd circle this match, you know, back in September,
Arsenal has one more. They have a better.
Did they sneak in? The goal differential.
Goal differential is better, so it's they're level in. On points with Forest, but they're.
I forgot Forest lost. You're right.
Yeah.
So goal differential. All right. I'm still going to call Forest a top four club because based on what we've seen through the first 3 months of the season, they are the, based on form, worthy top four team right now. Arsenal have been hurt. I think they're going to be far more healthy this weekend than they have been the last month leading up to the break. There's a lot of question marks around some players, you know, that didn't show up for internationals. So like Declan Rice and Saka, I think those guys will probably play if the lines are anything to go off of. Calafiori might be healthy. He's been important in that makeshift back line that they've been putting together the last few weeks. So I would guess that he'll be out there in some capacity. But man, I don't know that I want to put money on Arsenal right now. I know that they are coming off of a break and they should be ready to go. But with the way that Forest has played the first 3 months of the season, given that context and given what's the value, it's plus a goal there sitting at... what was it? Plus
a goal is plus 140.
Plus 140.
Plus a goal and a quarter is minus 105. Plus a goal and a half is minus 135. Yeah. Which is.
I have minus 125 on DraftKings for that.
Even
which is
fucking
even
better.
More playable.
If you know me, and Scotty just said it, if you know where I'm at, that's too good of a number for a Forest team that's in great form, as you mentioned. And an Arsenal team that is winless in their last four in the Premier League. Yep. I'm trying to make sure I'm looking at their previous games the correct way. It's their winless streak goes back further than that if we count the Champions League, right? Because they lost to Inter in the last Champions League match.
Yep.
So they just don't look good. You can't count on them to score. You mentioned they've had injuries. Okay, you can buy that to a certain degree, but just nothing about this team looks fluid.
No.
We mentioned they were going to, at the very beginning of the year, and pretty much every week since, they have striker issues. They just don't have that one guy you can depend on week in and week out that's going to score goals. And I think we're seeing that with what they're doing. They have... 18 goals scored in 11 matches, so that's under two a game. They've averaged well over two a game for the past four seasons. So really, really struggling to get the ball in the net. Forest has just about as many goals scored. The defense has been a little bit better. I don't see how you can't take Forest getting a goal and a half until Arsenal can prove it to me that, hey, we're the team that everybody thinks we are. We're the teams that the books are assigning the value to us. And they have Champions League on Tuesday. Yep. Like, no, you know what I mean? They're playing Sporting too. It's not like it's a, you know, easy game. You're playing Sporting away, who, by the way, has the most informed striker on the planet. So don't tell me Arsenal's not looking ahead to that game just a little bit. I like Forest on the spread.
And
not only that, I'm just going to say real quick, so you brought up rest. Like, a lot of these players on these bigger clubs don't get rest at these times, right? They're playing two matches for their national teams, a lot of these guys. Whereas, I don't know how many of Forest players get called up. I don't have their whole international squad list in front of me, but you have to think some of their players are a little more rested than Arsenal. And even if these guys are coming back from injury, what kind of form are they in after not playing for a while? So just based on the way these teams have been playing, I think what Nick is saying has a lot of value, like plus a goal and a quarter, even up to plus a goal and a half are all playable numbers. Even if these teams are playing prior to the international break, I think you like Forest to keep it close at least.
Yeah, I certainly think Forest have every reason why they should keep it close. I mean, Arsenal have been so dependent on Saka and in the goal generation department. I think Odegaard is back now, I think. So that might alleviate some of that a little bit. But, you know, it's one of those things where if Forest can come out, keep the game tight, get a goal in the first half, even if they don't, you know, score the first goal, if it's like 1-1 going into halftime, having that goal and a half is... It's just, it's too much. It's too much. So certainly like
we've done this very successfully the past two or three shows. Are you trusting Arsenal to score three goals?
No.
And that's essentially what you need them to do.
It would have to be a tremendous U-turn, right? And they're capable of doing that. Like if we looked at their form last year, like, yeah, sure. It's certainly possible, but based off of what they've been doing and how they've kind of limped in to the international break, it would have to be a very quick turnaround to come out of it. Now, if this game was 2 weeks later and they started playing a bit better, then sure, I think it's warranted. But as of now, they haven't proven anything to us, right, Nick? They haven't proven it. So is this a third straight prove it game?
This is about their 12th straight.
You know, based on that logic, Nick, I'm gonna go the Oaks route with this one here. If you think, you know, if for Arsenal to cover a goal and a half, they need to score three, you're saying that means you think Force is good for one, right?
I do.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So both teams are scoring over 2.5 is plus 155.
Yeah. And listen, I was going to say you found a better bet than I was going to give out. I was going to say if you subscribe to what we're saying but don't believe in Force, over 2.5 goals is minus 130. But your way might even be better.
Yeah. Both head-to-heads last year when Force was not as good, you know, statistically. 2-2-1 losses to Arsenal. So,
Kevin, thank you, sir.
And three goals, right? Both teams have scored three goals. So, I think that's a pretty solid value bet in this one. If you want to get something with some plus money value, I think that's a pretty good value bet. Not saying it's definitely going to hit. Like we've been saying, coming out of international break is funky sometimes, but you're not going to get much better in an Arsenal match plus 155 in matches where they tend to have three goals quite often.
But not this year.
Yeah, recently, no. Recently, it's been not as much, but I kind of like it. But I think the safer bet, I think, is probably your play at plus a goal and a half, minus 125, minus 135, depending on when you're getting it. That's still a pretty solid number. At minus 135 to get a goal and a half coverage is pretty solid.
Yeah, you're buying a ton of results, right? They could win the game outright. They could tie the game. They could lose the game by one. I don't know. It's international break killed this fixture almost, right? Like, I feel like if that didn't happen, you're taking four. You might even be taking a shot with Forest, like on the money line or a double chance or something like that. Arsenal has to prove that they're scoring two plus goals consistently. You got to back Forest in this one. I mean, if I don't know. Now I'm starting to talk myself into it because I want Arsenal to lose. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I think I've made my case strong enough.
Yeah, I think we leave it there.
We'll move on from there before Nick talks himself into something silly.
Yeah, I don't want to do it.
Looking elsewhere, I mean, we've got a couple other underdogs. Chelsea, Leicester, you know, I don't like this game that much. I think if you're going to bet something again, I'd stick with the underdog, find Leicester and some value. But I fully expect Chelsea, with the way that they've been rolling and scoring, that they'll get the result here. The next game
Leicester
that I like a bit
is a fat number, but not enough for me to take them.
Big facts. The other game I like in this early slate, Aston Villa versus Crystal Palace. Aston Villa almost playable at -160 in the money line. I think if you wanted to go and give them, you know, -1, you can go ahead and do that. Palace have been pretty bad this season throughout. Normally we expect them to have good games, some good games, some bad games. They've been pretty standard bad all season long. But the play that I do like is the both teams to score over 2.5 at +105. Villa's team total over 1.5 is like -170. It's something ridiculous. But their defense hasn't been all that great this season. It's been probably it's certainly been weaker than it was last year when they finished in the top four. They've allowed 17 goals in 11 matches, so almost 1.5 goals per game. I think Palace certainly have enough to get a goal in this one. So I like the over 2.5, both teams to score at +105. I think that's probably the best play in this match, unless you guys have found something else that you like.
No, I dig it.
I was going to say, without a clean sheet in 5 for Villa.
Yeah.
Losers of 2 straight, winless in 4?
Losers of 4 straight when you count the League Cup and the Champions League.
It's yeah, there you go.
And 5 straight without a win.
But Palace, dude, they do kind of stink.
They do. They really do this year.
I'm trying to make a case for them. I can't do it.
No.
Is it a right spot for Villa? It is. Not at that number, though. You take the goals. I'm with you, Scotty.
Yeah. I think it's the match you take the goals, too.
All right. Hold on. Flash is in here.
Yeah, see, Villa -1, +105. That's if you wanted to take a result, that's probably where you would go. Even like -3/4 of a goal. I think that was like -115, -120, depending on your book. That's not bad. Okay. Bournemouth, Brighton. Nick, you and I were talking this one. This one's tough because, again, Bournemouth, one of those teams that had decent form going into this, at least better than we expected from them, right? They've been a solid mid-table club under Iriola. They've had a couple big wins in the past, 2 or 3 weeks. But Brighton have fully looked reloaded and sitting at outside of the top 5, between Villa and or not Villa, Arsenal and Fought Forest now, but certainly been playing well. We've been waiting for them to fall off the cliff with Danny Welbeck being, one of their key players, but hasn't happened yet. So what do you guys make of this? I mean, either team here is playable. Money line, Bournemouth is +140 at home, Brighton +185 on the road. So you could really even go draw no bet with Brighton in this case if you like them at +105. Do you guys like Brighton as the underdog here? Do you think Bournemouth, with the way that they were playing leading up to the match, has a little bit more juice to it?
Yeah, I do like Brighton. I think they're the anti-Arsenal for me. They're the ones who I've been saying, okay, Brighton, prove it. And they have. They ultimately have. I've been wrong on them pretty much from the start of the season up into sixth place. Like you said, they are scoring a ton of goals. Their form is pretty good. They're away. I get it. But +105 on a draw no bet seems like pretty good protection to me. I would love +0.25 of a goal to get there. It's not quite there. It's -140. I'd like to see that in the -125, -130 range. But I think Brighton could very well win this now, right? Bournemouth, I don't really know what to make of them. They're pretty much like that team that anything could happen any given week, right? They've won 4, they've lost 4, they've drawn 4, they've scored 15, they've allowed 15. Their home and away splits don't seem that much different to me. Good for them. I mean, they're like kind of that team, but I think Brighton is just a little too much for them to handle in this game. +105 seems like a good number.
Yeah, I like the draw no bet +105. That's a good number for me. Brighton's been very consistent, like you said. I mean, the losses on the road, the two that they have, I think, were Liverpool and Chelsea. So no shame in that. They score goals. The thing is, they do give up goals too. Both teams give up goals routinely, which makes this number is nowhere near as fat as the ones we've talked about in the other matches. But both teams to score over 2.5 is -135. I kind of like that and the draw no bet. That's kind of like a nice backup play, because I think if they lose, I don't think they're getting clean sheeted by Bournemouth.
No.
So I think, the only way you lose money in that scenario is if you get like a 1-1 or a 0-0, then you're still getting the push, right? I don't think they lose 1-0 is where I'm going with that.
No, I think this is definitely a game with goals. I was actually going to bring that up, Coach, because even if you wanted to play some sort of total or over, I think it's really steep in price. But
yeah,
when player props come out, I certainly think that's an option. You know, Yao Pedro has been coming in as a super sub and been delivering results for them in the past couple of weeks. So if you wanted to really even like take like a long shot, like playing a live goal, anytime goal scorer option on Yao Pedro, or even though Matoma or someone similar, I think that's probably a decent prop play if you're looking to have a little prop opportunity on Saturday.
Yeah, and Brighton, Brighton 8 out of 9, more than 2.5 goals, 8 out of 9, both teams scoring. Gordon in the chat brings up Brighton team total over 1.5, which is actually a very solid number.
Yeah, +110.
Yeah.
You got +110, Nick?
Yeah, +110.
Match. Yeah, +110. So there's a lot of plays I kind of like here. Not a match I'd typically like immediately draw my attention to because, you know, name value with Bournemouth not there, but looking at the goal scoring, I do think this could be one where you take that over 2.5 both teams to score scenario, maybe take the Brighton team total if you really like it. I'd even be curious to see, like, to ladder up a little bit on the goals, maybe a smaller play on over 3.5 if you like 2.5.
Right? See, and this is where I got to give the Premier League their due. Especially this year, like there hasn't been a stinker weekend. Like every week just has good matchups and every game just kind of turned. Like Scotty and I were going through the list before you got on, Coach, and we're like, he's like, oh, there's really nothing I like. And then all of a sudden here, now we're into the sixth game and we have a play in every single game. Like, like these, it doesn't matter who's playing. It like the entertainment value in the Premier League this year has been outstanding. And I think this is a good example of that, a game like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. What do you think of possibly over 3.5? If you go over 2.5 and then you ladder up to over 3.5 with a smaller play, do you think that's
What's the play number?
Or do you think it's a little much? It's I just had it. Where to go? +145.
I'd like for it to be a little better.
Maybe not big enough, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I do see goals in this one.
I think that's more of like you take the over 2.5, and then if there's no goals in the first 15-20 minutes, you just double down on it.
Double down on it because you get the better number. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Two other games on Saturday we want to go through. Everton-Brentford. Nick, you've been on the wrong side of Everton, it seems like, the last month. I think you've been trying to figure them out. This match, you and I were in pretty quick agreement. Brentford on the road, draw no bet is +110. Brentford has been doing okay. I know they historically, or historically, but at least in the last couple of years, they've been, you know, one of the stronger sides. They're scoring a lot this year. I think that's been their hallmark, is that they get out and they score early and often. Everton have been surprisingly an overs club this season, aside from their last match. So looking at this, I think this is probably another game where there's going to be goals. I think you're looking at another over 2.5 here. The line for over 2.5 is playable, -120 I have. So if that's something you want to hit, you can go ahead and do that. But to me, a Brentford draw no bet, I think that's the one that I like the most. I don't buy Everton in the situation, even at home. I think Brentford have no problem breaking down whatever defense Everton tries to throw out. This year hasn't been good anyways. They've conceded 17 goals, so about 1.5 per game. But yeah, I don't know, Nick. Do you have anything else to contradict that? Because
no, to contradict it, no. Beto might put in some hard work. We don't know about that yet. He hasn't been starting. Where did my number go? Brentford to score in the first half, +105.
105, yep.
Seems absolutely silly to me.
They are an early team. Yeah.
Every game. Every week we're saying the same shit, and every week it hits. So +105 to get a goal in the first 45 minutes, that's where I'm at.
I also don't hate the Brentford team total. I think draw no bet's probably my favorite play because you get the protection against like a 1-1 if that happens. But Brentford team total +145, I think is in play too with the way Everton's defense, like you said, goal and a half a game, a conceded. Brentford scoring on average about 2 a match, 22 scored, but they've also conceded 22, which brings back into play if you think that's going to happen. The old both teams to score over 2.5 again is in play here, I think. It feels like that with a lot of these matches. I've never said this so many times ever on this show, but +105, I think it's something to keep an eye on. But I do like the early goal from Brentford. I think that's one that's definitely in play there.
+225 on the draw also seems like it's in play. I'm not advocating for it. It's a low, low number, but I don't know. This screams like 1-1, 2-2 draw.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of goals. I mean, Brentford 22 goals scored, 22 goals allowed. Yeah. Everton Listen. Have been, I think the over 2.5 is hitting 4 of their last 5. I think this is a big time over match. Over 2.5 at minus 120, now that I'm thinking about it, really is a good number. And it's certainly playable, especially if you like Brentford getting a goal in the first half.
Yeah, the Everton unders have been back the past few matches, but the Brentford over train is I think what's carrying my opinion on this one. Brentford rather hasn't kept a clean sheet in 11 straight. They're first to score in 6 out of 8, which is where that first half goal comes into play. They've also won the first half in 5 out of 7, because you know they were scoring those goals in the first minute or two in like 3 weeks in a row. So hopefully they're at the point, man. They get the ball first and they just go down like.
And we're more than a quarter of the way through the season. Like, Everton need points, right? Like, you got to go for it at some point. They're two points ahead of the relegation zone. Like, got to stack them up any which way you can. I'm not saying they're a better team, but they're at home and they're going to have to go for it. So, yeah, I like goals in this one. I'm with you.
And if they go for it, it just opens them up to a team that can score, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's shift into probably the match of the weekend, certainly the match of Saturday. We've got Manchester City hosting Tottenham Hotspurs. We've talked about this before. Tottenham have been a bogey club for Manchester City, even in their best of days. I think their last 5 matches, Spurs are 2-2-1. City certainly not informed by any means. I made a joke during the international break that with Pep Guardiola signing on for another year, that's basically him throwing in the white flag, because I think he thought this was going to be a walk in the park season for him with Klopp no longer in the picture. He could ride off into the sunset, and it's been basically a disaster. The first time he's ever lost 4 straight games at any club, certainly finding themselves 5 points back of Liverpool, still plenty of season to go, but not where he thought they would be. And I think he's kind of tacking on this year now just so that he knows this doesn't have to be his swan song and his final memory with a club that he's had a lot of success with. So getting back to the match itself, City heavy favorites at home at minus 195. Spurs coming in at plus 475 underdog. For that's a lot of juice. I'm surprised at that, given the form of the two teams.
How big it was, yeah.
Given the history of the two clubs, you know, Postecoglou fears nobody. You know, he's not going to sit here and play a conservative game. This is absolutely the kind of game where Tottenham get a result. Tottenham sitting at plus 1 is plus 105. Even plus a goal and a quarter is minus 120.
Yes.
I think those are the plays here. Look, City have, like I said, they're on a losing streak, which is a weird thing to say about this team. And so them getting some sort of massive 3-0 result against a Spurs team that likes to attack and has been attacking really well. I think they're the scored the most goals in the Premier League thus far, right, Coach? I think we were talking about that last weekend.
Yeah. So while you're at it with that Spurs plus 1 or Spurs plus a goal and a quarter, this season, I'm going back about 6 matches I can see here on SofaScore right away. Guess how many of those 6 matches, just in the Premier League, they won by more than goal, City?
By more than one goal?
By more than a goal in their last 6 in the Premier League.
None. I'd say maybe 1 or 2.
None.
Maybe one.
They haven't won by more than a goal in their last 6 at minimum, because that's what
I'm and I can tell you every single week we're in the group text saying, hey, live bet on City, live bet on City. Yeah. This is time to bet City. They're behind in every
hasn't
game.
Been. Yeah.
And,
hasn't
and
been.
When you throw in the, you know, loss in the Champions League to Sporting, you throw in a loss in the League Cup to this Spurs side that beat them 2-1. You know, it goes. The only matches that really jump out at you, like the 5-0 win at home to Sparta Prague, and beating Slovan Bucharest over there 4-0. Other than that, everything's close. Even if they're winning, it's by a goal. So I think that plus a goal is big. I think, you know, and now you said he's not going to fear them, right? So especially getting the win in the League Cup, that just buoys this Tottenham side's confidence even more, I think, to get a result. And you said it, they've been a bogey side for City, and I can't trust City right now. Losing streak overall.
This is exactly the game that we talked about at the top of the show. This is the game where you fade the favorite coming off of bad form, coming off of international break, going into the Champions League next week. That just plain and simple. City plus a goal in the quarter is where it's at. This is, though, also one of those games, I'll say proceed with caution, one of the few games where player props are readily available. there's a huge discrepancy. It doesn't make sense. So the over is 3.5, right? So it's -120 for 3.5 goals. So books are expecting goals. Haaland is -200, which is insane. But still, the dumbest number you could possibly assign to a player to score a goal. I don't care that it's Haaland. I don't care who he is. Sports books do not accurately reflect how hard it is to score a goal in a match. So, okay, you're saying over 3.5. That's likely based on the odds. Haaland to score a goal, that's likely based on the odds. I get it. I'm tracking. Look at every other player on the pitch. They're +220 or higher to score. So you're telling me there's going to be four goals in the match. There's going to be four goals in the match. Where are they coming from? So it's either they're dead wrong or we're picking up 2-3 units on somebody scoring a goal. I don't know who it is. I don't know what the lineup's going to look like. I don't know anything.
I think that's the problem. I don't even know that the managers know what the lineup is going to look like. There's been a lot of rotation coming through. I mean, City have had their own mini injury crisis. I have no idea what the fuck is going on with Kevin De Bruyne, who's been playing 5-10 minutes a game for the last 5 games. Has to be hurt or something. I don't know if anybody has clarification on that, but if De Bruyne starts this one, I think he's sitting at +250. I mean, I don't know what they don't have goal or assist props out, but if he's sitting at +250 on anytime goal scorer, you can bet he's probably gonna be plus money on goal or assist. That's probably my favorite.
Yeah. I'm trying to see where we get it from Tottenham. If we're looking at Sun, if we're looking at Johnson, Solanke at +240. Solanke at +240 is kind of silly. He's been pretty good. He's settled in.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. Just be on the lookout for lineups. But the only thing I'll say, whether you like our bet or not of taking Tottenham, just be very cautious with this Man City side in this game looking ahead. Not to say they can't win or won't win, but just be very cautious.
I think Gordon makes a great point. Sun loves a good goal against City. I just pulled it up quick.
Sure does.
19 career matches against City. He's got 8 goals, 4 assists. So I don't know what his goal Unreal. Or assist number will be, but he's +340 on the goal line. So you got to.
So you're looking at +150, +200, definitely.
Which is very much in play, because if we think Spurs has possibly 2 goals in them, because we think they're going to keep it close and it possibly a 4-goal match, I think that's definitely in play.
Betson Curry did get suspended, I think 7 games or something.
7 games. Like 7 games he'll be out.
The other point you made, Vicario did look like absolute dog shit over the international break, so that's not a good look for them. But City's D hasn't been any better. So I think we definitely get a goal from Tottenham in this one.
All right, let's look at the last 3 games of the weekend, all on Sunday. First one, Southampton Liverpool. Again, like this is, you have to get creative if you want to bet something here. I don't personally like anything. I am surprisingly bullish on Liverpool this season, given my history on fading them just for my emotional sake. But you'll have to get pretty creative and take something relatively high. I think their team total is over 1.5 is -340. Like, it's crazy. So a lot of goals here. Probably have to find something with Salah or Diaz as your player props. But the other two matches are a little bit more playable. United -160 favorites on the road at Ipswich. First match for Ruben Amorim in charge. Listen, Van Nistelrooy did pretty well in his interim duty. Well. And we said
Could be coaching Roma if they were smart.
Yeah, maybe. But Coach and I were talking about this going into the weekend or going into the international break. It'd be very Manchester United if Van Nistelrooy has a great run of form as an interim status, then basically gets the boot for Amorim, and then Amorim struggles for the first month and a half. There's gonna be a lot of people questioning things on the United side. So really for Red Devil fans, you got to hope that there's a positive result here, because it's about as easy of a match as you'll get, although it's on the road. Is this one where we want to take the underdog, or do we take the new manager bounce? That's really my only question, Nick. I normally take the new manager bounce, but it's got to be the bounce.
Ipswich is fucking terrible. They couldn't stop the three of us from scoring a goal. Is really what. Not that United's prolific in scoring. I really think Ipswich is that bad, and United gets the bounce in this one. I like United. United winning over 1.5 is -120, and I think if you want to get nuts, United to score over 2.5 is +170. I'm not saying it's likely. Wouldn't shock me for them to get 3 goals on their own.
Yeah, that's fair. Even Ipswich, they've chipped in. They've been scoring goals against some of these top clubs, so I like them getting a goal in some capacity in this as well. First half, I was trying to go through some of these props because I feel like this is going to be one of those games where if something happens, it's going to happen early. United to score first half minus 175. That's not as playable as I thought it was going to be. I thought that was going to be a little bit more. Wow. Never mind. I may have to back out of this. That was going to be my secret pick here. But
no, sorry.
I don't think I can take that. And then even like them to win first half minus or yeah. plus 110, that's not.
Both teams to score no draw plus 120. If you think United win and you think Ipswich get a goal, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I take that back. First half, not as playable as I thought it would be. All right. Let's finish up with the Premier League. We have the last match of the weekend, Newcastle versus West Ham. Newcastle, another team that's been Nick's been waiting to prove it to him. They've been up and down. I think they've been slightly on a positive trajectory now that Isak has been healthy and playing in the last 3 weeks leading up to international break. They are the heavy favorites in this at minus 200 at home. That also kind of plays into it. But West Ham at plus 500 on the money line. Again, you're going to find value on the spread here. West Ham plus a goal is plus 100. Plus a goal and a quarter is minus 135. Another game, Nick, where I'm leaning towards the underdog and in a goal. You know, I get it. Newcastle is at home. They should be in better form. West Ham actively choose not to play defense for most of their matches. So there's going to be goals in this as well. But I don't know. I feel like they keep it close. This might be a 2-1, a 2-2 type game. If West Ham can get two, I think plus one is the easy win. Where do you see this going?
I don't see Newcastle necessarily scoring three, but I don't like either side. I don't know what to make of this is just a complete pass game for me. I don't have anything super strong to say other than, I don't know, Newcastle is just kind of there and West Ham stinks. But is this a game where like West Ham kind of figure it out and Newcastle lay an egg? Maybe. You know, they're probably looking ahead to next week. But I don't know. I can't back either side in any strong fashion.
Yeah, what I was leaning before I saw the line was team total for Newcastle over 1.5 minutes. So it was minus 210, so that's unplayable. Because Newcastle's not one of those sides that has to worry about Europe in the midweek. So I feel like this coming back from international break affects them a little less
than the other Europa League or one of them. They didn't even make that.
No. They're not in Europe.
Oh, yikes. Take that away.
So,
my bad.
Yeah. So I think it's a Newcastle win, but the number you're getting from them is not worth the play. And I don't know if I could go to minus. You could go minus a goal, but I don't know if they win by two goals, right? And minus
why?
A goal
why take
minus
the
135, right? It's not worth the risk, I don't think.
No.
We never make these picks. We never advocate for them because they're just such shots in the dark. But this might actually be a game where you play a 2-1 correct score, Newcastle to win 2-1. Because I feel like that's what this match plays out to be. It's plus 550.
Wait, holy shit. We have to play. I'm not even going to let you finish what you're saying.
Go ahead.
Tonali and Paqueta both to get a yellow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a little yellow card. Same game parlay.
Come on. How's that?
Might as well. Might as well. Oh, I love one of them will certainly get it.
Paqueta yellow, if he starts, is like fucking automatic.
Easy.
I don't think Tonali is around the ball on defense enough to get a yellow. Unless you bet on it.
He Tonali's yellow would be from either protesting to the ref or kicking out when he has possession and
Tonali,
someone does a
the show,
borderline tackle.
Let us know what you're doing, bro. Hit us in the DMs. Let us know what's going on.
All right. I think with that, we're all good to shift over to Italy now, right? Is there anything else in Premier League you guys were looking at? But
no, I'm echoing what you said. I think underdogs are the play this weekend. Proceed with caution, but a lot of good games.
All right. Let's kick it over to Italy then. Nick, what are you looking at in Italy?
Coach, I have nothing in this Inter match, so I'm not even going to talk about it unless you got something there.
No, I mean, I would expect them to take care of business, but, you know, there's nothing you're going to do with, even if you think Inter's maybe looking ahead to Champions League, I don't think you touch anything with Verona, I don't think.
Yeah.
You go here, everything's too juiced on the Inter side.
In turnover 2.5 minus 115.
No, there's no need to.
No, because you know it's gonna be like a 2-0 win, and they're gonna cruise into the midweek. No. They're not gonna put the pedal to the metal. I mean, Lautaro at least is finding form for them. He scored a really nice winner for Argentina the other day, but not enough to play anything here. You also don't know what kind of lineup Inzaghi's gonna play because they have Champions League. He's kind of been rotating strikers and things like that in some of these matches. So I stay away from this match.
Yeah, normally I'd love to fade Hellas Verona, but
yeah. I think the only way you play Inter is if in part of a like a three-team parlay or something this week. Like if you play one of those kind of things. But I think that's it.
All right. Well, we got our Juve contingent in the chat. So let's
match of the weekend. Get right to it. Number one against number two. Oh no, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me look at the standings. Number six against number seven. Juve against Milan. Let me hit you with the lines here. Hold on.
But I Milan, think it's important to say in the standings, just to give reference for Serie A, if anybody's not, you know, up on the standings.
He hit us. He got us from the standings.
No, but Juve is on 24 points.
Oh, you
want
the full
points.
Standings.
Okay. No. Juve on 24 points is in six, but they're only two off the top. It just speaks to how tight the league is right now. Milan is on 18, so there's a big gap. Yeah.
Six against seven, marquee matchup. Milan at home, plus 115. Juve plus 235. Draw sitting at a very, very low, plus 215. Juve draw no bet, plus 145. And the very, 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 very silly, it was actually plus 150. And then if you want Juve plus a quarter of a goal, that's even money, which is pretty solid as well. But I am going to tell you, boys, especially with Vlahovic out, not that he's done all that much this year, I'd be really, really, really upset if I were a Milan fan and they didn't walk away with a win in this game. I think at home, on the type of goal-scoring form that they're on, they need this game. Granted, Juve's been good. Obviously, we've talked about it. We'll get into it. They haven't given up a ton of goals this year. They still haven't lost a game in the league. I feel like we have to qualify that every single week.
They draw a shit ton, but they don't lose. Yeah.
But Milan has to like this game. I think Juve still hasn't figured it out in the midfield. I think Milan is starting to figure it out in attack. We know about the chances they generate game in and game out. But this is a game where they're going to have to score two goals. And if they do that, I don't think Juve has a chance, especially with that. I heard Wea is going to be like starting at striker for Juve this week. So I just think there's a little too much for Juve to overcome,
so,
especially away from home.
Nick, I get your point, but the last home match for Milan prior to break was their 2-0 loss to Napoli. As the resident Napoli hater, I have to bring up the fact that I think Juve are a better team than Napoli. So getting Juve at plus a quarter a goal, if Napoli can do a 2-0 match versus Milan, what's the difference here? Why are we so much lower on what Juve can do? Like, I think Juve are keeping this close. Like, I don't see this being...
Yeah, no.
This would be a one-goal game either way.
I think Juve's going to play for a two-goal or less match.
Who's scoring the goals for Juve?
That's why I almost... Honestly, I know Milan's in form in terms of scoring goals, but I wouldn't be shocked if we get like a 0-0 type match.
The first six guys...
Juve's going to realize they have to play a defensive...
The first six guys on your list for goal scorers are all on Milan. Until you get a Juve player. Because Vlahovic is out. I'm not even counting him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait for the set piece. Give me a nice set piece goal.
Maybe. And it's possible. And listen, they've been okay. I think Milan's just a deeper team right now where it counts. And I think they're starting to really find the form. Liao, who, you know, I hate Liao more than anybody. Dude has looked really, really good the last three games. Pulisic obviously is on the form of his life. Reinders has been awesome. I think they have still guys that, you know, they haven't yet made the impact, but, you know, you got Okafor, you got Chukwueze, you've got Loftus-Cheek. I think there's just too much for Juve to deal with when they're going to be so worried about where their goal is coming from. You know what I mean? And I'm a Vlahovic hater as well. You guys know that, so I'm not just picking one side over the other. At least when you have him on the field, you know where your reference point is. You know where you're looking to go. You know where offense can come from. If you're telling me Wea is going to be the guy that starts in the middle, and I'm not knocking him as a player, but he's not a striker. You're telling me he's going to – I don't know. I just don't see it. Like, at least if you told me, hey, Yildiz is going to play in the middle and we'll figure it out, I'd kind of understand it. Nico Gonzalez is hurt. Vlahovic is hurt. They have one other injury that I can't think of. I just don't see where the goals are coming from. Like, they're getting one goal maximum in this game.
Who would be the backup? Milik,
thank you. Yeah. He's out for the next 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever it is. He's been out for the whole year, pretty much. Just where are their goals coming from? I just don't see it.
Yeah, which is why, and I look at Milan. Yeah, they're coming off a 3-3 draw against Cagliari, but you look before that Where'd it go? Just pulled up the Juve list. Yeah, they scored on Real Madrid. Those two matches, right? But prior to that, 1-0 win over Monza, 2-0 loss to Napoli. The Bologna match got postponed. You know, Udinese 1-0, lost 2-1 to Fiorentina. So I know they, like, in recent weeks, they've started to come on a little bit, but they've had quite a few matches where they've been shut out or held to one goal. And there's a reason why Juve has six draws, because they're comfortable playing these 0-0 type matches. I can't trust that Milan's going to get two goals in this match.
No way.
I can't.
Nope.
But they could.
I can't. And I don't know where Juve's going to get their goal either.
Okay. That's what, gun to your head, right? A team is getting two goals. Who are you going with?
In this scenario, if someone's going to get it, it's probably Milan. But I'm not confident to bet it.
Has Juve allowed two goals in a match yet this year in the league?
Yeah, that Inter match. They had that 3-3
the
shootout.
Inter, okay.
4-4 or some shit like that.
Yeah, whatever it was. They also gave up 2 to Parma. They had those back-to-back matches where they went from giving up no goals in the league to giving up 6 and 2
Are
weeks,
you going under 2.25? What are you going to do? You're taking under?
I would probably feel more comfortable with that than taking a team to score 2. Just because I have a feeling the way Malt is going to know he's going to have to approach this match. Right? I think he knows he's going to have to control the possession, try to dictate play a little bit, and if they can steal a goal, they can steal a goal. But I think from a Juve perspective, if you go into this match knowing you don't have Vlahovic, you don't have Milik, you don't have a couple of these other guys that can provide goals, and you can get out of here with a 0-0, I think you take it and you run, considering the injury situation.
I did forget that Fonseca stinks. I got so excited about Milan that I forgot that Fonseca was their coach for a second, and that dude is fucking garbage. So valid point. thank you for grounding me a little bit.
I mean, there's a play that I would consider just a sprinkle. Not even a full unit type bet or anything like that, depending on what people are betting. But the 0-0 is plus 750. I mean, you're gonna sweat for 90 minutes because that's not a bet I'm normally ever going to consider playing. But just knowing how Juve's been,
so then
this
just
year,
take under 1.5 goals at plus 210 total.
Yeah, you could do that. Then you get a 1-0 and you don't die. Yeah.
I get your point, Coach. 0-0. This with the way that Juve plays, that's like the logical pick, but there's going to be a goal in this in some capacity.
I'm telling you, I'm taking right now, I would take Liao and I would take Pulisic. They're both at plus 275. And one of them hits.
Pulisic, yes.
One of them hits and you're feeling really good.
I really wish the score assist numbers were out.
Yeah.
No player Pulisic.
Yeah, that's
score
the only thing
assist
that I hate
is,
when we record on,
sure.
You know, this point in the week, we don't get those till, I mean, they usually come out like close to match time. So
assuming that's plus 130 or higher, I think that's an auto play.
Emerson Royale to get a card. That's always good. That dude fucking stinks. Martino, the original Fonseca lover. Guys, back me up because I give him shit about this all the time. Tell me he didn't come on this show and brag about Fonseca early in the year, saying it was a good signing.
All right, I'll find the clip. I'll find it.
The clip exists.
I wasn't on the pod when he did that. He came on when I was on vacation this summer, but I'll find the clip.
Okay. We got it for you.
We're moving on?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm trying to grasping the straws here. I just think, gun to my head, Milan's the better side.
Disagree.
With the injuries that Juve have, and they're at home. That's where I'm at.
Home is the only thing that matters, but I still like Juve plus a quarter goal. That's my official pick.
Anything can happen.
Listen, there's a lot of Juve fans saying the same exact thing that I'm saying, so I feel pretty good about my insights.
One thing I'll say about Juve fans, all the ones I interact with, good people, good knowledge, I've never seen one ever say that Juve is going to lose a game, ever. So until I see that, I can't take the comments too seriously.
I mean, they're used to winning. They've won a lot in the past, decade and a half. So,
yeah, sixth place looks good on them. That's all I'll say.
All right, let's get on to
where
Atalanta.
Where are we going next?
We got to get into Atalanta because that's the team of the pod. So,
yeah, they are
playing at Parma. I know the lines aren't they're close. They're almost playable, but I think this is certainly. I mean, Atalanta easy overs are always in play here. Do we like, I mean, what's the total over 2.5? Oh, sorry, it's over 3.5. Shit. Plus 135. Nope. That's tough. You can maybe tease that to plus 3 in the Asian handicap. So that tells me that I'm playing Atalanta to win and over 2.5. Which is, hold on, I'm going to find it. Plus 120. That's my play in this one. I don't see how Atalanta.
So is Atalanta to win and over how many goals?
2.5. Over 2.5. I think over 2.5 was going to be my play until I saw it was unplayable. But
generally, is good for a goal, right? I mean,
yeah.
Generally speaking, but I do think Atalanta wins. They've been starting to find themselves a bit.
Dude, they're five wins in their five. Yeah. 31 goals scored this season in 12 matches. That's fucking nuts.
Both teams scoring in Parma matches an 8 out of 10. So yeah, I think that if you're going to play something, I think that's the play to go to. Because Atalanta does concede. They conceded to Udinese before the break. You know, they conceded one to Verona in their 6-1 win. There are matches where they do concede. They did shut out Napoli, but I think if you're looking,
I can shut out Napoli. Napoli stink.
Probably they the do. One to play.
We don't this have Napoli fans in our chat. I must have done something wrong here because we never get Napoli fans in our chat. We'll bring them back.
We'll get somebody on next week. Yeah, I don't know. Corners could be a corners game, but it could also be one of those games where every fucking shot goes into the net, so you don't get the corners.
Yeah, you never know that, Atalanta. Because they could all go in the net sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I mean, I think they smoke. I don't think Parma's that good, so I'm with you.
All right. Going down the list, Genoa Cagliari is our new manager bounce for Genoa.
100% Genoa at home. Cagliari is not very good. I think this is a game you take a chance with Genoa. Drono bet is -115. I think that's a really good number. If you want to take the money line, they're +150. Wouldn't be mad at you. If Balotelli ever gets a fucking start, you know I'm betting him until he scores. Even though him and Vieta hate each other, apparently.
I was going to say, they're feuding already.
Apparently, they don't like each other, so.
So, that's fine. But he is, like, +240 to score. So, I will be taking it until it hits, just so I could post the fucking screenshot on Twitter.
Yeah, but I do like Genoa in this game. I think draw no bet Genoa is a good play with a new manager bounce. I mean, they're desperate for points. Like you said, Cagliari is not very good.
No. Also, Pinamonti has been pretty good. I have to give him credit. Yeah. I think he's having a pretty decent year. Wouldn't shock me for him to get on the score sheet.
All right. Como Fiorentina up north.
Fiorentina's been good, man.
Monza.
What's the number on those guys?
I mean, Fiorentina money line is +130. Drano bet -145.
Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me? Fiorentina money line. No doubt.
Como on the road?
Stay. Yeah.
On the road?
I don't care. Como stay. Absolutely. Fiorentina, they're the one. Second fucking place?
Third
place? Come on. Dude, they absolutely. That's a silly, silly, silly mismatch number. I don't care.
Como, no wins in six.
Yeah. Sorry. I will get trapped. Call it alert. Wee, wee, wee. Alarm bells. Trap of the week. I don't care. I'm falling into it. I like that number.
Yeah, and against bigger sides recently, besides that 3-2 win over Atalanta when we were all over Atalanta, Nick, Lazio put up 5 on them. Napoli put up 3. Como's had a rough go of it since those back-to-back wins they had. So
that's right. Back to what I said, the team we thought they are who we thought they were, if you remember the coach from the Cardinals. I can't think of his name.
Oh, Dennis Green.
Dennis Green.
Dennis Green. Yeah, Dennis Green. Yes. Yeah. They are who we thought they were. Como.
Which Nick said was a team that should not be, what were they, +700 +900 to avoid relegation, yeah. Torino hosting Monza.
Yeah, hold on. I'm looking for a Moise Kean +200 to score. Silly. Silly number for a dude that's like number 3 in the league.
Yeah, he's been
top. Fiorentina over 1.5 goals +140. I'm all over that. All over that.
Sorry, you said over a goal and a half with +140?
Yes.
Yeah, that might be my favorite play in the match. Yeah.
25 goals scored. Como has 25 conceded in 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I lose that +140, so be it. That's a play.
Yeah, I think when you get +140, that's too much value to pass up.
Matter of fact, I'm locking it in right now on the air.
live bet opportunity.
Hopefully it's more successful than the time he locked in Balotelli, then he just didn't play. But
no, but the one before that, I locked
there,
in.
There was,
locked
there was symbolism in that bet for you, though. So I,
that's right.
I,
you know, my boy.
Take it for what it was. Torino hosting Monza.
That's, man, Torino's been bad. They started out really good, and they've been bad lately.
Monza, too.
I would have been all over the money line.
Away
but,
from because they both stink.
Speaking of teams that both stink, Coach, what's the next game?
Yeah, Napoli hosting Roma.
Well done.
One of them stinks.
Well done, sir.
I think I got to take, as, again, the resident Napoli hater, I think I got to take Roma plus half a goal at plus 110. They have a new manager. New manager bounce.
Could be the
plus half a goal.
New manager bounce.
And that, just tie the game. 1-1 draw. 1-1 draw. Success for Roma. They're happy. Cash is a plus money bet.
Dude, I could kind of see that, quite honestly. I like the draw at plus 250 in this game. I think it's – Napoli has obviously looked good, but they haven't scored a ton of goals. Their offense hasn't looked prolific. Lukaku doesn't look that good.
Surprising who? Who's surprised that Lukaku is not that good?
Serie A fans.
Yeah.
Who told me that he was the second coming under Conte.
Yeah. And other fans who said that McTominay is going to be a second coming under Conte.
That's true, though. That's facts. we're seeing that.
We're just going to take all the Premier League castaways, put them onto Napoli, and then all of a sudden they're going to be a good team, right?
Well, no. McTominay's doing it. No. And I'm not trying to hype up Roma because Roma obviously have been awful. And they've lost 4 out of 5, and they're on their
only way they can go is up.
That's true. They're due. They might be due. But Napoli hasn't looked that prolific, and I could see Roma frustrating them. I think we're going to see a defense first game. Coach, I obviously want you to talk to it because you know it on Yeti.
I think we're slowly convincing Coach that a result here is possible, and he came in here fully prepared to just be down in the dumps about Roma.
Here's my thing.
And he's look. I can see him. He's thinking about it.
Roma doesn't get a result here, it's tough sledding for the next three because they've got at Napoli, I think, then they're at Spurs on Thanksgiving for the Europa League, and then they've got Atalanta. I'm not sure if it's home or away, but that's like three tough matches to start a tenure with a team that is like in free for all when you're taking it over. So I think they do need a result here just to kind of feel good about themselves heading into that stretch. Otherwise, it could be three more losses in a row, I think.
Only way they can go is up.
And listen,
they don't even need to win. That here's the thing, though, Coach. Given their form, they don't need to win those three games. If they get three draws in those games, you guys are happy.
Yeah,
super
low expectations.
Yeah. Dude, here's my question to you with Ranieri. I want your thoughts on the hire because I know Scott and I were ready for the circus. And some names, like the names that they threw out, weren't even exciting names for us to give you shit about. We were ready for the
only circus. Remotely exciting name would be Terzic because he had a nice run at Dortmund and then they just went their separate ways at the end of last season after he took them to the Champions League final.
Yeah.
A lot of those names are very underwhelming. But so, who are you going to get in season as a third manager? Nobody of quality is going to want to take over in that situation.
Right. No, and I fully agree with that. And that's where my question is with Ranieri. Like, what is possibly the upside for him in taking this job? And I say that with knowing that team is in a financial situation.
Well, for him, there's no upside because he's just someone who's lives and breathes that club, right? So
he's
a good servant, and his heart's in Rome. He's a Roman. He played for the club. He's managed him twice.
And listen, I don't think your opinion necessarily has changed of De Rossi, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
Right? But – He looks a little bit worse, right, for having taken the job and gotten fired and didn't really do anything with it. Not to say he should have or should not have been fired. Not to say that he's qualified or unqualified to be the coach. We could have that debate another time. But you tarnish the reputation just a tiny bit. Same thing could happen for Ranieri.
I also think because Juric was so terrible after him, I think it makes De Rossi look a little less bad, right? Because it's not like he came in and fixed things. And it was like,
I think Mourinho looks great.
Yeah, and I don't think they would have been much better under him, right?
Mourinho was on third on my list to manage Roma. Second comeback.
I don't think Ranieri's worried about his reputation at this point. He was retired. He comes out of retirement. He's the oldest manager in Europe right now. And he's the apparently going to stay on in some kind of advisory role to pick his successor after this, because they really need a football person, right? The person who was pulling the strings was Suluku, the woman who was there as like a business person. Apparently her and De Rossi had their differences, and that kind of, you know, moved the firing up a bit. Because you don't just fire a manager after, was it, 3 or 4 matches, even if you're off to a rough start, because look how wide open the league is this year, right? If De Rossi starts to get things corrected, they're probably in that Milan to Juve range, and you're in the thick of the European race at the very least. Of all years for Roma to go absolute shit, this was the worst possible year, because all you had to be this year was somewhat decent, and you're in the mix for a Champions League spot. That, to me, as a fan of the team, is the most frustrating part, because you didn't even have to be great this year to be a top four side, based on what we've seen through 11, 12 match days. But for Ranieri, that, you know, it was the logical hiring for Roma. It really was. It was the only person that's going to come in, have the goodwill of the fans up front, and the fans understand he's there just to do a job for you. He's not here for the long term. You hope for him he has somewhat decent results, because he is, you know, kind of, he's not a Roma lifer because he's been around, obviously. But that's kind of where his heart is. It's there, and he said the only teams he would have come out of retirement for Roma and Cagliari, because he's managed there a couple times. But I think in the current situation, just someone who's going to right the ship. He's not tactically rigid, right? They call him the Tinkerman for a reason. I think he can work with what he has, and hopefully at least give the attacking player some more freedom than they had under Juric, because you brought in Sule, you brought in Dovbik, you already had Dybala, you have some other players like Baldanzi, who you brought in last year, who are talented attacking players, and they've kind of gone to waste under Juric. And, you know, playing Angelino as a left center back to me made no sense when you have Mats Hummels sitting on the bench, and you could have played Angelino as a winger where he can excel and whip in crosses. So I don't know what Juric was looking at there. So I think that changes immediately this week, where Angelino can do a more attacking job than we've seen Zalewski do. Like, you're playing Zalewski.
Dove big to score, plus 300, coach. Talk me out of it.
World-class striker.
I think led
La Liga last year.
I think it's a good number on a player who, if he gets the right service, can score. He showed early in the season under De Rossi, his first couple of matches, to look pretty capable up front. And then he's kind of lacked service of late. So I don't hate it.
KK plus 225.
No. But I'm an Apple hater, so I can't do it.
Straight with your hate, Scotty. Okay, I was testing the waters there.
I'm committed to the game. But it sounds like we're all in agreement that Roma plus half a goal plus money is...
Yeah, what's Roma to get a goal? I mean, I might take Roma team total over half.
It's over half. Roma over half is plus, or is minus 180. But you can throw that into something else. Throw that in with like a Atalanta team total over 1.5. Now you're at like minus 110.
What do we got both teams to score? Minus 115. I like that.
Yeah, okay. I'm fine with that. 1-1 draw. Cash my plus half a goal pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy that the shortest odds on a Roma goal scorer does big at plus 300. That just seems very long to be the lowest. You know, it's not like Napoli, you know, is impenetrable. They just...
Here, ready? Ready?
Sure aren't.
Ready for sure my aren't. Hot take? Roma is more likely to score a goal this week than Juve. That's my hot take.
I mean, okay. Considering the injury situation, it's not the craziest thing to say.
Well, the only I'm sorry, not to keep going back to that game. But the point I'm trying to make is, Milan has to take advantage of that Juve. Like, at this moment in time, they have to take advantage of it.
But will Fonseca do so?
I forgot. Like, how could I forget about it?
The other one I would keep an eye on if he starts, anytime goal scorer Dybala plus 380, if they get a penalty kick, he's taking it.
Yeah, that's kind of silly.
Free kicks. I think just from that standpoint, or I would check out goal or assist number.
What's a red card in this?
I'm going to wait till halftime and then bet Al Shaarawy halftime, anytime goal scorer.
Scotty knows. Scotty has ball knowledge.
He was the only one that played with any balls in Juric's last match.
Dude, scored the break. He is criminally underrated as a player.
Yeah. And I feel like players like that are going to be valued by Juric, guys he knows. So I'm curious to see where the lineup goes, but.
Yeah.
I think Ranieri, like I said, asking about the hire, he's the only guy that made sense in this situation. You need to start fresh in the summer. And, you know, I said on our Roma pod, like, you don't throw away this season, obviously, but it's almost better they finish out of Europe than finish in like seventh and enter in the conference league next year. You almost need the clean restart. Because, you know, they won the conference league once. It was nice to get a trophy, but I think at this point they kind of just need to start fresh. I mean, it's worked for Napoli this year so far. It worked for Juve the year before, right? No Europe, and then they're in the Champions League again. I think Roma needs that kind of reset.
Okay.
We going to Lazio, Nick?
I don't have high confidence in this game. I think
you say that every time.
No. When I do, I tell you I do. But I think our rhythm is a little bit broken with this international break. Pedro, who's been fucking on fire at 50 years old, is hurt. Dia is hurt. He got like malaria out in Africa. And I wish I was making that up. That's an actual true thing that happened.
I think you're just like exaggerating the injury or something.
Nope. That's a true thing. I'll show you the headline. Lazio's been scoring a lot, but here's my thing. As much as I gave Bologna shit, and you know I can't fucking stand their coach, Vincenzo Italiano, they've only lost one game. Like, I was shocked to see that in black and white in the standings. They're kind of right there. This game screams draw to me. Screams draw.
Can I interest you in both teams to score minus 125?
A strong gastrointestinal attack your boy Pedro's out with, it says.
Yeah, he's got diarrhea.
He might have also got malaria. Yeah, we don't know. Damn. He might have been in Africa too.
He's got the runs. It's too bad.
He had diarrhea of the mouth this week. I saw him talking about like the derby and stuff. I don't know. He's talking about the derby. They don't play for like 2 months, but, you know.
Coach took that one personally.
Yeah.
No, it's just funny because I'm sure the journalists asked some like super like loaded questions that you're going to get a great sound clip out of, but it's just funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, both teams to score minus 125. Is that the pick then?
I can see it.
I mean, Lazio money line is only minus 115. It's not that much you're giving up by switching to that.
Yep. I dig that. Could be an over game.
Feels like it.
I think the rest of the games too. I mean, Empoli, Udinese, Venezia, Lecce.
Hold up. Empoli, Udinese, draw line is plus 180. I was going to say a draw, and then I saw the line at plus 180.
The lowest.
That's a surefire draw. Yeah. Never has there been more of a draw game than that one.
Like, yeah, I would almost take all three of those games.
Three of their last four head-to-heads were draws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You could take those three games and pretty much, like, parlay over 1.5 goals, and, like, you know it's going to happen. Because, yeah, like, these relegation six-pointers.
Stinks, though, huh? Stinks.
They're terrible. They had one good run of, like... I think four games when they had like a win and three draws.
Like, they stink. Venezia's got two wins this year. One of them was against them. Somehow they're in ninth place still. I don't understand how they're still that high. I guess they piled them up early in the season, a couple wins. But
yeah, they're better than Roma, some are saying.
But it's funny because Udinese only has one draw all season. Empoli has six. Interesting.
Empoli, king of the draws.
Yeah.
Almost as always, Bologna and Juve.
I mean, half your matches are draws. That's quite a feat.
This could be like a straight up just like round robin some draws.
Like, sure.
Pick four or five games, six games, and just round robin some draws.
Mm. Sure.
Catch two or three and make some money.
Don't hate that at all.
The good old round robin.
I'm out.
All right. Any other picks in Italy? Anything worldwide, coach? We got to look at Germany at all. We're leaving that one alone.
I was just taking a quick look, but I didn't really get a chance to look deeply, and I'm not confident giving anything out.
Well, I'm glad that we're back, guys. It's
felt like forever.
Anxiously awaiting our first pod back from international break. I'm glad it's been here.
International breaks feel like a long time. You only miss one match week, but because they spent two.
There's none until March now, right? That's usually how it goes. Thank fucking God. Got like four straight months of club footy. All right. Well, that's it. If you've stuck with us for this hour and 10 minutes, we appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. Shout out everybody in the chat. Appreciate you guys participating. And good luck with all of your picks this weekend. And we'll be back here next Wednesday, 8 p.m. sharp. Catch you next week.